Hello and welcome. We're back again. And tonight we're going to discuss patents. They're part of intellectual property, and it is rights and processes or rights in a product that you create. We'll turn around and discuss its definitions, its elements, its rights, duration, how you enforce it. Let's get into it. You know, as we talked about last time, not all property is tangible. Intellectual property, which is a incredibly valuable and important part of our society and our economy, makes it particularly important why we need to think of property in terms of rights, not ideas, not things, because rights and ideas aren't something you can hold in your hand. And that's why we need to think of property in terms of rights and not things. This concept is crucial. You couldn't have intellectual property unless you thought of property in terms of rights, because you can't hold the idea in your hand. It's an intellectual concept. And intellectual property is what really has made our modern society. And common law did not, as we discussed last time on our discussion in copyrights, common law was reluctant to have rights and ideas and to declare those. But modern laws, because of our Constitution, our founders were brilliant men and they turned around and wanted to have intellectual property. They recognized none other than Thomas Jefferson was one of the greatest proponents of having intellectual property rights. And it ended up in our Constitution. And that's why the Constitution provides that the federal government has responsibility over intellectual property. So as where most property laws, state law, virtually all intellectual property is based on federal statutes. And those federal statutes for copyrights and patents and trademarks govern the intellectual property realm. What is intellectual property? It's any product, production, of human intellect that is intangible, means you can't hold it in your hand, it's an idea, but has value in the marketplace. It is called intellectual property because this product, this production of human imagination, creativeness, and inventiveness is something that we want to preserve as a right that you can enforce. Why? Because we want people to be creative. We want them to use their imagination. We want them to come up with new ideas and products that you can produce. And as a result of that, we want to give you the incentive. How do we give that incentive? We allow you to keep the fruit of your labor. If you work all day long on a computer program or on a write a song or write a book, we want you to be able to protect that. If you come up with a great new idea for a new product, that's a patent, and that's what we're going to discuss tonight, we want you to be able to protect that right. And that's what patents do. So too with trademarks that we'll get to next. Why is intellectual property so important? Because traditionally, although businesses have been thought about as their physical assets, that which they produce, or their land, or buildings and equipment, it's today really the intellectual assets that are the most important. We live in an information age, and all those intellectual ideas, it's the reason why computer technology and things relating to electronics have become so widespread and advanced and pervasive in our society, and that is such a quality of life to all of us as Americans. And as a result of that, it's that intellectual property right that encourages their development and encourages them being protected and having those people say, hey, you know, if I come up with that better mousetrap, I come up with that new idea for a novel or for a computer program or for a song or whatever it is, that I will be able to make money off of that, that I'll be rewarded for my labor. Protecting intellectual property promotes that creativity. It acts as an incentive for advancement for our entire society. And it protects invention and provides incentive and rewards for your hard work. And that's very important because that way people have the ability to come up with new innovations and new products that make all of our lives better. There's three types of intellectual properties we talked about before. You have copyrights, which are rights in written and performed works. What we're going to talk about tonight, which are patents, which are ideas for products or processes. And lastly, you have trademarks, which are logos, identifications, or distinctions. Let's talk first about patents, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. They're enforceable right in any new or useful process, machine, manufacture, composition of matter, or improvement. What does that define? Let's get right into it. Patents are defined as the governmental grant of a right or a privilege or authority. They are also include the right to exclude others from making, using, marketing, selling, offering for sale, or importing an invention that you create for a specific time period. And that right is granted to you by federal law or federal statute if the device is novel, useful, and non-obvious. It is an enforceable right in any useful process, machine, manufacture, composition of matter, or improvement of any of those things. Let's get into it. What are the elements of a patent? Patents are intellectual property rights, and they're vested in anyone who invents or discovers a new useful process, machine, manufacture, composition of matter, or an improvement thereof. There's four key elements in order to be awarded a patent under federal law. First, it's got to be a patentable subject matter. We're going to go through what each one of these means. It's got to have utility. Unlike a written copyright, a patent has to show that it's got to do something. It's got to be useful. It's not just there for what it is. Trademarks and copyrights don't have that requirement. A patent does. It's got to be novel. No one else can have come up with it. And it's got to be non-obvious. We're going to discuss each one of these in turn. First, what is a patentable subject matter? Not all things can get awarded a patent. It has to be a process, a machine, a manufacture, or a composition of matter, or an improvement of any of these things. Let's talk, what is a process? It's an act or series of acts or steps, such as a mode of treatment of certain materials. How do we do this? Step one, you do this. Step two, you do that. Step three, you do that to produce a given result. And it's got to be repeatable. So the fact that it happened by circumstance isn't patentable. It's got to be a process by which if I take step one, and then I do step two, and then I do step three, all of those will result in this product that I'm coming out with. That process is patentable. And as a result, if you have a great recipe, first you turn around and take this much flour, and then you take this much chocolate, and then you take this much butter, and then you whip it in a certain way. You put it in a processor for at this speed for this period of time, and you produce this batter, and then you put it in the oven at this temperature to turn around. You can actually patent that. Why? Because it is a process that produces and gives a proven given result that is patentable. And it can be done for more than just baking a cake. You can do it, turn around and say, this is the best way to produce bricks, or this is the best way to produce a certain type of metal on it. And that's a process. And that process is patentable. You can come up with a machine, a concrete thing consisting of individual parts or of certain devices or a combination of devices that actually produces a item. And that machine that you have, and this is most patents, you produce a garden hose that doesn't kink up. You produce a tire that doesn't go flat. You have an idea for something to be able to produce that product. That's a machine. And as a result of that, you can produce that. You know, somebody who produced the Frisbee, which is that plastic disc that you can throw and catch and spin around. The hula hoop, things like that, they're all machines. You wouldn't think of it as that, but under federal law, they're defined as that. You came up with that new idea to be able to produce that product. The iPhone, it's a machine. It's a series of parts that you put together to be able to do something that's patentable because you created that product, putting together all these different parts together. It can be a manufacturer. A manufacturer is an article produced from raw or prepared materials by giving these materials new forms or new qualities or new properties or new combinations by hand labor or by machinery. So if you're able to manufacture a new type of screw by incorporating processes and a machine together, that manufacture is patentable. And lastly, a composition of matter. A composition of matter is when you combine two or more substances to produce a new substance through a chemical union or a mechanical mixture. A good example of that is there was a scientist who was working on trying to produce a new chemical compound, and they were doing it right here at GE's R&D lab, which a lot of inventions come out of, here in Niskayuna, New York, not too far away from the State University. And they came up and they were working on this new chemical compound, and they left for the day because work was over for that day. And the next morning they came up and there was this very new, exciting polymer which had come together because they hadn't finished what they were doing. And they had written down everything that they had combined with that. And it became what we know today as Lexan. And that's what they make football helmets out of. It's like a plexiglass, but it's very strong. It's a very strong polymer plastic. And this new composition was kind of developed by accident, but it was patented because it was very useful. And it was essentially a composition of matter. You put these types of chemicals into it and it created this new polymer, which was patentable. And it was very exciting and a new item on it. So it had to be a composition of matter. So remember, it's got to be a patentable subject matter. That means a process, a machine, a manufacturer, or composition of matter, or an improvement thereof. Next, that which you produce by that patentable subject matter has to have utility. It must be useful and provide an actual benefit to a person or society as a whole. That usefulness, that utility, is not, as we said, an element of either copyrights or trademarks. You know, it's hard to say that every written or performed work is actually useful. It may be enjoyable, but is it useful? You have that element in a patent. You certainly don't have that in a trademark, because a trademark, part of it is, it's not a useful item, other than its identification, but it is not something that has utility. With respect to a patent, has to have utility. Novelty, the invention that you create, it's patented, the patentable subject matter must be new, it must be novel, and it must be unique. Somebody else could not have gotten it before you. It has to be new, it has to be novel, and it has to be unique. And if it has those three elements, it has novelty. And novelty is required in order to obtain the patent. It's also got to be non-obvious. I can't turn around and say, I have a new combination of materials that are H hydrogen mixed with oxygen, and it produces this wonderful new combination called water, okay, H2O. It is not something which is either novel, it certainly is useful, but it's obvious. It's out in nature. It's there. You didn't invent it. And the invention must not be obvious to a person of ordinary skill and subject matter. So if you just turn around and say, hey, listen, if I put wheat in a mixture and then put it in the oven, I'm producing this wonderful new thing called bread. Well, that's obvious. People have been doing that for hundreds of years. It's not new. It's not unique. It's not novel. And as a result of that, it's also obvious. So as a result of that, it must be something which is all of these things. It has to be non-obvious, novel, and useful. Now, if I create a new bread that has no carbohydrates that nobody ever did before, that is non-obvious, that is novel, and that has utility. That is a new patentable subject matter. What kind of rights do you have when you get awarded a patent? You have a collection of rights similar to what the rights are that we discussed for copyrights. You have the right to prevent others from making, using, or selling your invention. You came up with it. You should have the intellectual property rights on it. As we said, it is a federal right. It is right under the United States Code with the statute on patents. You have the right to enforce that in the United States. There is no direct right under federal law in other countries. Now, the United States has treaties with other countries in order to respect our copyrights. Not all countries respect our copyrights. One of the most important countries that doesn't is China. China and the United States don't have that treaty. Sometimes your copyrights are respected, sometimes they're not. And frequently in China, they have what they call reverse engineering programs, where they will take your product and then go out and do what we call a knockoff. They sell your product under a different brand name to try and make money for themselves. That's because they do not have a treaty with us. We could do the same for them because we don't have a treaty with them. But at the end of the day, there is a benefit. Most of the European countries do have treaties with us. So it is you're able to enforce your patent rights in most of Europe. It's very difficult to enforce it in China to hold a Chinese company as accountable because we don't have a treaty with them on that. So as a result, if you want to have that patent enforceable in China, you have to file a patent in that nation in which you want to protect, in that case, China. If you don't have a treaty with that nation, if your country doesn't have a treaty with it, you got to file in their patent office and get that patent to protect it under their laws. So, because again, our patent laws only apply in the United States. What do you have as far as your rights and patents? They're short. Remember where it's 120 years for works that were made out of the employees work for hire under the copyright provisions? Well, you only have a 20-year patent right. So it's not long. And it's 20 years from the date that the patent is filed within the Office of Patents in Washington, D.C. It's non-renewable and requires a maintenance fee to be paid to the Patent and Trademark Office. And you have to pay that fee or else your patent is not maintained for that 20 years. It's a much shorter period of time than a copyright. That's why it was so important why copyright applied to software, because now they have a much longer time to protect their intellectual property on software than if it was deemed as a process patent, because you'd only have 20 years for that. Now, how is a patent obtained? First, you have to make sure that the invention that you create is practical and got utility. You have to document when the invention was made. When did you come up with this idea? Patent applications before the United States Patent and Trademark Office are very complex. I have a sister who's the brilliant lawyer in the family who's a patent attorney. And I can tell you that to file a patent application is very labor intensive. It requires a lot of documents, and you have to conduct what is called a patent search in order to do it, to make sure that nobody else out there has invented it. Because one of the things, remember, it's got to be novel. Nobody else can have created it. It's got to be non-obvious. So you need to make sure that nobody else out there has ever filed a patent. So you got to do a patent search, which your patent attorney will do for you. It's very expensive to file a patent application. You file it with the Office of Patents and Trademarks in Washington, D.C., and it usually costs tens of thousands of dollars to be able to do it. So you better have a product that is going to turn around and be worth that in order to file this. When you file that application, there's a reason why it's an application as opposed to when you register a trademark or register your copyright, because the United States Patent and Trademark Office has to approve your patent. You will see many products, if you flip over on the backside, it will say patent pending. Those are patents that have been filed, but which the United States Patent and Trademark Office has yet to approve yet. Now, when it is approved, they'll give you a number, and you can attach that number on the bottom of your product saying it has been registered under the Patent and Trademark Office, a patent has been awarded, here's the patent number. But before that, you'll see patent pending, and you'll give the number of the application that you have, because your rights are protected during that period of time after you file it. So once you file it, your rights are protected. assuming that the Patent and Trademark Office later verifies that by awarding you a patent. Patents are wonderful things, and they allow us as a society to have and maintain intellectual property rights in these new wonderful products that we produce. And as a result of that, they provide the incentive for those who are inventors, for those creative sorts, to produce new ones, because they know that there will be a reward at the end of it. That's it for patents. We're going to go on to trademarks next. See you shortly. Thanks so much for listening.